Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi guys, welcome back to the next episode of the City Confessions. I'm so excited for today's guest and episode because I have Nastasia Yacoub. She's the founder of Dame Traveler, which is a travel community with currently over 595,000 followers on social media. She's also an entrepreneur and photographer and now an author of Dame Traveler, and her main mission and ambition is to inspire and empower women. So Nastasia, hello and welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for the intro and for having me here virtually, socially distant.
I am so happy we are finally recording because guys, I've been trying to get Nastasia on for the past, I think since February, so it's about like 3 months.
Even before that, was it before our Christmas? I don't know.
Yes, it was. I've been dying to get her on, and it kind of is weird that a pandemic allowed me to have her on. But but saying all this, I think the time, I always believe in timing, and I know that when I reached out, there was so much going on in your life. You know, the holidays were happening around December, and then the new year, you launched your book, which is so exciting, and again, congrats. So before we dive into all the amazing things that you have accomplished and you are currently working on, why don't we just rewind a little bit, and for those who don't know you, can you tell the listeners about who you are, the journey between getting to Dame Traveler, and just your relationship with New York City?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Michigan, the suburbs of Michigan, and I've always known that I've been a city girl at heart. So I moved to Chicago in the city in 2008, and I went to nursing school there. I got accepted into Loyola. So my whole mission in life was to become a nurse. But of course, as we all know right now, with this pandemic going on, life throws curveballs at you all the time. And so unfortunately, I was injured while I was on the job. I had an 80-degree scoliosis curvature. Well, I was diagnosed with that when I was 12. And I had major back surgery around that time. So I've lived with this spinal fusion all my life. And it wasn't really a huge burden on my life until I became a nurse, because obviously it's a very physically intensive job. So long story short, I had an emergency C-section, which the patient was completely stable because I was a very new nurse. And I went to go, they call it breaking the bed. So I went to go break the bed and unfortunately lost control over it and it fell on me. And so I fell into bed rest. And that was pretty much the end of my floor nursing career. My doctor recommended that, you know, I either go back to school and become a nurse practitioner because it's like less physically intensive, or like find an insurance nursing job. And I looked at him like, no, that's not going to happen. I could not live with a desk job. So unfortunately that was that. And I was kind of at a crossroads, and lately I've just been feeling like almost having like flashbacks of that time, because I was on bed rest for about 6 months and I couldn't leave my house, and we've been in quarantine for like 2 months, but it feels like it's felt like 2 years. So I have a little bit of PTSD, like, you know, right now, because I'm like, I've lived this like situation before, and it's not a great one, you know, feeling like you're trapped, and feeling like, you know, everything is uncertain. And so But at the time, I was still a very hopeful, motivated. Oh, that was, God, how many years ago? Like 7 years ago, 2013. And now, so much has happened since then. And so it's hard for me to find that motivation lately. But we'll go back to the happy part. Instagram was just starting to become really popular at the time. And I remember I had a BlackBerry, and I remember getting an iPhone just because I kept hearing about this Instagram app and how everybody has it. So I got an iPhone and downloaded Instagram right away because I've always loved photography. It was always a hobby of mine. And in nursing school, it was just kind of like my creative outlet. I bought an old camera that was like older than me, a film camera on Craigslist, and would like go around campus and take portraits of like interesting looking people. And that would be like my therapeutic outlet. So I would just like spend so much time in the dark room, and that was just like my hobby, but it trained my eye, and it helped me tap into my curiosity of people and my surroundings. And I think that's really helped me today in my photography and in my work. So I remember just downloading Instagram and uploading like old travel photos. And one of my photos from Greece like got featured on Travel and Leisure, and it was like the highlight of my month, because imagine like nothing was happening in my life at that time, and it was like the most exciting thing. And I just thought it was so interesting, like, to see so many travel communities using hashtags to bring people together, but I couldn't find one that that celebrated women, or just like a female travel community. Now there are so many, but at the time there weren't any at all. And I wanted to follow one. I was like searching for one so I can follow one. But I couldn't find one. So I'm like, oh, that'd be fun. That would be a fun project. I'm always looking for like creative projects, and I need something to distract myself. So let me start one. When I was Googling like different, names, like, you know, brainstorming different names for it, I could have called it like female traveler or something like that easy, but I wanted something interesting. And I found, dame, which the definition means a, you know, courageous woman, with high ranking in military. So I was like, oh, that's cool, because it just basically describes a woman who's brave. And my whole mission for the community was to celebrate brave women who are out there traveling, whether it be solo or, you know, unique destinations with other people, whatever it is. And so I was like, oh, Dame Traveler sounds cool. And at the time, I got criticism from my friends and family, and people are like, no one's gonna know what that means. Don't call it Dame Traveler. And now it's like has almost 6 million photos under the hashtag. Mm-hmm. Which is crazy. So just a little lesson there, don't listen to criticism. If it feels right for you, then just go for it. So that's what I did. And then it was just totally hobby. I had no idea. I didn't understand like that I could actually monetize it in the future. It was just a way to bring people together. Mm-hmm. And then it was amazing how many people were using the hashtag. So I just started curating the feed. And then it blossomed into such a beautiful community. And then people were asking me like where they could share their stories. And so that's how I started the blog, so I could curate their stories and then also share my own. That's just like, long story short, how Dame Traveler was born.
No, I love that story. So I'm so curious to know, I know you were telling about your journey when you created it and why, but at the time, I also had my account since 2011, so it was definitely the start of social media, but never did I think, you know, let me start a community, right? I think a lot of people went into social media creating an Instagram account specifically for their own purpose. So did it ever cross your mind of just posting your own travels and making it almost a personal blog? Like, where did your mind shift when you said, I'm actually going to curate a feed, right? Because that was foreign back then.
Oh my gosh, that's a very good question. And actually, nobody's ever asked me that.
Yay!
Like a really thoughtful question, so thank you for that. But I've always been a little timid and shy, so I wanted to create, I mean, I love, like I said before, I love people and I'm very curious about people, and I wanted to learn about other stories out there, and I wanted to bring them together. And I could at the time, like Nastasia's passport came after I was like going on assignments and going to all these cool places, and I had all these photos. So I was like, I need to share them from my own perspective. And it's a totally different style. Mm-hmm. Now, like, Dame Traveler is kind of shifting similar to Nastasia's passport, where it's more cultural and behind the scenes. But I didn't want to be the focus of the brand. I wanted the brand to be a community, because I was inspired by like Passion Passport and Tiny Atlas and Beautiful Destinations. And I just thought it was so cool how they were bringing people together. And so I wanted to create that community aspect for women to come together and for them to connect with one another when they were traveling. And for me, I wanted to also live vicariously through other women who were traveling at the time. And because I was bedridden and I couldn't travel for a very long time. So it was like a way for me to just like, I remember like searching geotags like Rome or like whatever, just so I can feel like I was there and like looking at all the pictures. And so it was a way to like live vicariously through other travelers that were traveling at the time, and B, I just was really fascinated by bringing people together virtually.
I love hearing that, because the community is definitely so, so strong, and it's just been growing at a consistent rate, I guess. So do you manage it yourself?
So everyone thinks I have this like massive team, but confession, it's literally just me, and I had an editor to help me with the blog, but unfortunately because of COVID and everything, I lost her, and I had a couple interns, and I don't have them anymore. So, and I'm very, 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 I'm a perfectionist when it comes to the Dame Traveler feed, and actually all the Instagram feeds. So I manage 5 Instagram feeds, and now the blog, and I was traveling full time and creating content. And I, you know, whenever I work with a tourism board or go on a campaign, I strictly create my own content. Like, I would never use somebody else's, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I was also creating content. So I've definitely put a heavy load on myself because I'm such a perfectionist. And I realize that I'm a very self-aware person as well. And so I realize it's not very healthy. So I'm, you know, really have been thinking about that, especially now, like reevaluating things, because I have so much time to do that. Whereas before, I didn't have any time and my whole life was work. So I really need to reevaluate that and change that, because it's not healthy for my personal life. I realize that.
No, it's good that you are able to, like, because I'm really self-aware too. And I think it's, especially right now, right? I mean, I think it's a perfect time for people to do self-reflection. But given the community and the following and everything, I guess you must receive so many DMs and messages. What is like one story that you can share that really, you know, changed your, I don't know, like your day or your, or was rewarding or something that really stands out and you were like, wow, what I'm doing is pretty amazing?
I have so many, like, I cry, like, when I receive emails, like, even in the beginning, the very beginning, I would receive emails from women who were, like, in their 40s or 50s, and they would be thanking me for creating a community that has inspired them to go and travel solo, whereas before, like, they would never think about doing it, and because I'm, like, and another thing about the community aspect is, like constantly showing so many examples of different women, not just me, of so many women out there traveling. And so that alone inspires other women who are like behind, you know, behind their phones and like watching this, and they're like, hey, all these women can do this and I can do it too. So like whenever I would receive emails like that, like, you know, or asking advice, like one woman had asked me advice, like she was also older and she said, how do, you know, where do I start? And I do take the time to answer as much as I can, but obviously, like, it's a lot, you know, it's hard to engage completely on Instagram. So it's, you know, something that is difficult, but I still take the time once in a while to like answer a few here and there. But she asked me, you know, like, where do I start? And I said, just start small, like go to, you know, like if you live in Chicago, go to California, you know, just travel domestically, or even if that's too much, go to like another city, like interstate or wherever. Start small and see how you feel. And if you like it, try it again and go further. And if you hate it, don't even do it, or just wait, you know? Mm-hmm. And so she had done that. Like, she started small and went on like a short domestic trip. And now she's like this like full-time like solo traveler who goes everywhere.
Oh, I love that.
It's like we keep in touch. But just recently with the book, I was really bummed out because like I worked extremely hard putting it together. And then it was literally like released on March 3rd. Mm-hmm. And then like everything shut down on like the 12th. So like everything, I mean, I was lucky because I got to release it, but like, obviously, you know, it's a really difficult time to release a book, but you know, I was down and sad about it, but then I started receiving so many messages and emails like from people saying, you know, I had this epic solo trip planned, or one of my friends was like, my mom, you know, had this like solo trip planned. She's recently divorced and wanted to go on a solo trip. She was going to do that this year, and all these trips have been canceled, but my book has been comforting them. And I just thought that was so beautiful. And that really, really, like, all these people, like, telling me, like, how much the book has helped them has really gotten me out of, like, the rut that I was in the beginning.
Yeah. And, again, I, you know, attended a panel, so I somewhat know your story. But where is it? Can you tell the listeners about that moment when you, I know you quoted something along the lines of, you know, you wanting to travel and, you know, instead of waiting for somebody to say yes and accompany you, because, you know, that could be never, you took it upon initiative yourself to just do it yourself, to do it solo. What was that decision like? And what was that learning experience? I mean, I travel myself as well, but I remember even as outgoing as I seem, it's a really scary thing to do, especially as a woman, right? So yeah. walk me through that decision, and yeah, just tell me about what that was like.
Yeah, so that was, so rewind back to nursing school in 2011, which is so, it's so crazy how many years ago that was. But I remember just sitting in anatomy and physiology class, and we had winter break coming up, and I loved living in Chicago. So that was, and I had never even traveled alone before that. And I had just moved to Chicago kind of without like the support of my family, because I come from a strict Middle Eastern family, but I did it anyway. So that alone was kind of like a huge step that completely changed my life. So I think that helped me make the decision for my first solo trip. You know, Michigan, Chicago, it's only a 4-hour drive. Like, it's a big step into my life, but it's not that far away from like the familiar, you know? So I remember like, oh gosh, I have a month off. Like, I don't want to go back to Michigan for a month. What am I going to do there? So I was like, I kept trying to find like friends and people in the nursing school to like come with me to volunteer in Africa. And I couldn't, like, they would be like, oh yeah, I would love that. You know, like, it sounds like such a great idea. Let me know the details, blah, blah. But when it came down to booking it, they would like have all these excuses. And that is very common, like that my situation wasn't like an anomaly. A lot of people, you know, go through that, where people just like flake at the last minute. And so I was like, well, this sucks. Like, I really want to make this happen, but I can't find anyone to go with me. And so I just booked the flight impulsively, and I was like, well, I can't talk myself out of it now, so I have to go. And I did, and it was scary at first. Like, I remember crying on my way there, but like, I felt so empowered on my way back, and I was there for about 3 weeks. And I researched, I didn't just go like randomly. I did do a lot of research before, you know, as I was like asking people to come with me. But I just had booked the flight impulsively. But I found like a volunteer company called GVI, where they set up these like programs where you can, you know, volunteer at an orphanage or whatnot. And you can live with, in a house with about, you know, 10 or 12 other people from all over the world, really. I was the only American in that house. And I remember them like asking me like, oh my gosh, Americans travel. I'm like, yes, Americans travel. They were like, they're like English and Australian, so they're some were a little pretentious when it came to the traveling thing. I was like, yes, they do. But that experience was my first ever solo trip, and I don't recommend anyone just book a flight to Africa. Like, that may not be for everybody. That was just my experience. Mm-hmm. But if you really want to travel solo, start small. You know, like, even now, like, I'm going to be doing more domestic travel, and I'm curious, like, in my own state, in New York, like, I would love to go to, like, upstate and explore upstate. I would love to go to the Finger Lakes. There's so much to explore just in my surroundings, and I'm excited for that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's great. I thought you were going to continue telling me more.
That's pretty much it. So, yeah, South Africa was my first solo trip, and that's
that is
inspired by
that is bold. Wow, like, Africa. I mean, I haven't. I heard amazing things. People who have been there are like, oh my god, you have to go. But that's definitely, I would feel like, I mean, I like to think I'm well traveled, but I feel like Africa is like for definitely a more experienced traveler, especially like you were saying, for people who wanting to get started. I always advise as well to do more domestic. Or I'll say like a safer place is like Europe, just because, you know, it's very touristy. It's a little like, you know, before branching out. But like Africa, that's crazy, but also super admirable. Speaking of traveling though, and social media, do you ever, you know, I mean, I've done this myself, but have you met up with people just, you know, through social media in a foreign country?
Oh yeah, all the time. So like I've never like had an Instagram boyfriend or husband. I would love one to just like carry my bags. But I can take my own photos. But but yeah, so I have done it tons of times. I'm always traveling solo, and while I do love it, it gets very lonely, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And I don't like that. And so there are times when I was like, well, I can fix this. I have a huge community. I can just tap into it and see like who wants to hang out. And at first I was a little nervous, like, you know, putting on stories like, hey, who wants to, I'm in Amsterdam or London or Paris. But once I started doing it, I would receive so many like sincere messages. And of course I would like look at their profiles and like, and vet and just like see if like, you know, okay, is this a creep or not? Mm-hmm. But you can kind of tell, like, and especially friends that you've been following forever, you know, like I was getting in touch with them, like Paris is one. I have the most friends from Instagram in Paris, like so many friends in Paris. Like I felt like Paris was my home at one point because I had so many Aww. Friends there, all from Instagram, which is amazing. I have like lifelong best friends from Instagram. Which is incredible because we're all like-minded and we all understand each other, that we all live kind of like an out of the ordinary life, and mm-hmm. and we're all creative and we can help each other, and it's just such a beautiful thing. It's like one of the biggest blessings I've received from having the community.
Yeah, I bet. And I love that the community again is so positive, right? Because I mean, there's different communities for everybody on social media, but I think you have been so true to your mission. And I think that's why, you know, like the book has been so successful. You've been getting so much great feedback and just continuously building a community that's lasting, because, you know, Instagram has been here for a while. And the fact that Dame Traveler is still going strong says a lot about, again, the community that you've built. I want to shift gears a little bit right now and ask you what keeps you up at night, given what's happening with the pandemic. I know you also touched upon this a little bit earlier about just the timing, you know, of the release of your book and all that you had planned, and now it's been put on hold. But I love asking this question because, you know, given who you are as a very self-reflective person, I think it will be somewhat easy to answer. But like, what is stressing you out? What are your concerns? What are your worries? I think as New Yorkers and a perfectionist, we are always, you know, constantly doing so much, putting so much on our plate. And it's a good and bad thing, right? It's good because we're hustlers. We like to keep ourselves busy, be productive. But at the same time, you know, our mental health can somewhat be affected by it. And maybe that's why this whole pandemic in a way I see it, is a blessing in disguise, right? It forces us actually to take a step back and to literally put a reset button on our lives. So for you specifically, given, again, everything that you've been working on for the book and everything else, right this moment, what is stressing you out? Like, what are your burdens?
Oh my gosh, just not having control over anything besides my hygiene.
I don't even feel like I have control over my hygiene anymore.
I know, even then, I'm like, I washed my hands like 2 seconds ago, and I feel like, oh God, I have to wash my hands. My cat just like hopped on my package and I was freaking out. I was like, is it gonna get it?
I know, it's crazy.
But yeah, I mean, so many things, and I've been thinking a lot, obviously, and I'm so, like, in the beginning, I was like, well, I work from home, but I also work from coffee shops, and I love working from coffee shops, and I think that was always, like, the highlight of my days. It was just, like, getting out of my apartment, going, and, like, supporting different local coffee shops. But in the beginning, I was like, well, my routine is kind of, like, the same. I'm always home, and I'm kind of used to being alone, because I'm always traveling alone, and, like, you know, living alone, and blah, blah, blah. So at first, it was, like, shock, but then I'm like, oh, it's okay. But then it was just obviously like a roller coaster, you know. I'm sure you've experienced this as well. And then I was thinking, I'm like, how, like, this is crazy to trap, like, travelers, restless travelers, and restless New Yorkers. We literally paid our rents are so high just so we can get out of the house.
Yep.
So we can live in this we literally pay for location, and we can't even leave our home. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, of course, this is just a little thing, but it was just like, I was like, oh, laughing at the irony, you know? There's so many other people that have it way worse. And I have just been trying to focus on gratitude as much as I can, but it's really difficult because since I was a child, I've been battling post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety, and depression, all three. And it's been a crazy, crazy, like, journey. And, of course, anyone who has suffered the same or has had that experience before understands that it doesn't just end, you know, where you're like, oh, I have anxiety, and then maybe next week I'll go away forever. No, it's like, there were peaks and troughs and waves of it, you know, like, there are times, phases in your life where you're feeling okay, but then there's this, like, lingering anxiety that is just always there, that, you know, there are different variations of it, where it's mild some days, or it's, like, really severe other days where you can't breathe. And so I was like, well, you know, thinking about it the other day, I'm like, the whole world is actually experiencing this, like, low-grade anxiety right now, where, you know, it's just, like, there, and you can't, I'm pretty sure, and not the whole world, but I'm pretty sure, like, majority of people are experiencing it because of the uncertainty, you know? But I'm like, I hope this brings empathy out in people, because I've been living in this state, like, all my life. But, you know, some people who have never experienced that, or have never been through anything really difficult in their lives, they're experiencing that. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, there's a lot of stigma behind mental health. And I really hope this brings out empathy in people, that this, you know, like, waking up every morning and feeling anxious and not knowing, you know, what is going to happen next, and worrying about that all the time is a very painful way to live. But so many people live like that. And so I always open up on social media about mental health, because it's very important to me, because I've experienced a lot of trauma in my life, and I would never wish that on anyone, but this is the state of our world right now, and I really, really wish that, I really hope for the world that we just become a more empathetic, you know, place to live, and a more empathetic, like, collective society, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's been, there a lot has been on my mind, and of course travel, like, of course I miss it, but, like, that is not what's bringing me anxiety. Like, I'm an empath, so I'm worried about everyone else, like, who's suffering right now. And I think as an empath, you're a sponge and you just absorb like other people's energies, even if they're not around you, because you feel for other people. And, you know, it's really hard to live like that. But I know that I have a deep sense of empathy. And so I've been struggling with that a lot, just like the state of the world, you know, the state that the world is in and how much people are suffering. It breaks my heart. It really does.
Yeah, I mean, I can relate to you on many levels. Also, we're recording this in May, guys, and it's Mental Health Awareness Month, so I love that we're talking about it. So I myself have gone through, you know, my past struggles and anxiety as well, so I can totally relate to you. And I think you bring up a really good point, you know, considering that we are all in isolation and practicing social distancing, that those who have never experienced this is all foreign to them, right? And it's just like a taste of what you and I or other people go through. But I actually wanted to talk to you more about the anxiety part, if you don't mind, and with traveling, because my anxiety gets heightened through actually social events, or like I get social anxiety. And I'm curious to know, if you travel mostly solo, does that anxiety ever get triggered, or what triggers it, and how do you combat it? Because I feel like when you're at home, at least for me, it's a little easier to handle because I'm in the comfort of my home. You know, not saying that I don't experience it if I'm still at home, but it's just easier. I have the right tools available. Whereas when I'm outside in uncomfortable situations, that's when I, you know, somewhat struggle the most. So for you, how does anxiety play in with travel?
Yeah, with travel, so because I'm alone, I'm totally fine for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I can relate to you as well. Like, large social situations bring on a lot of anxiety for me. Where I prefer more one-on-one or two or three friends, you know, around, and it's like quality over quantity. Mm-hmm. But when there's so many people around and I like, you know, like you're kind of forced to communicate in the setting, people would never guess that I'm like suffering majorly from anxiety inside, because I can still like get over it and be social and talk to people. But inside I'm like dying. But so like with traveling, I can control it because I'm on my own and my senses are heightened because I have to like be more aware of my surroundings because I'm alone and because I'm 5'1" and 102 pounds. So I'm definitely a target. But I'm not sure why, but like I never really experienced like a ton of anxiety traveling alone. Mm-hmm. But I did have a really bad experience in Paris, and after that was in 2018. And after that kind of made me a little more paranoid and a little more anxious. But I've learned different techniques. I mean, breathing, I've just been practicing breathing techniques as much as I can. And it's really challenging because of my spinal fusion. So it's hard, like with anxiety and learning breathing techniques, for me to learn how to deep breathe and just like be in the moment. But, you know, I work on it every day, and it's something that has helped me a lot. But I think feeling in control over your surroundings as much as you can when you're traveling solo is really important to decrease the anxiety. I guess everyone has different triggers. But for me, I'm usually so alert when I'm traveling, and I'm very prepared, and I do a lot of research. And I think preparation is key to reducing anxiety, because you're prepared for the situation and you kind of know what to expect to a certain extent, rather than feeling like flustered and all over the place, if that makes sense. Like, you know where your hotel is, you mapped it out, you've looked on Google Maps, you know the area, you researched the area, you have like the emergency phone numbers like in, you know, on hand if you need them. Just like preparation is really important. Like, not to scare anyone, but like I know it sounds like a lot, but like these are little things that go a long way if you were to get into, you know, a really sticky situation. So just, yeah, preparation is key to reducing anxiety. But for me, what brings anxiety is just like huge social anxiety situations. But like back to the low grade anxiety, I have that all the time, no matter what, even if I'm like the best moment of my life. Mm-hmm. And that's just been there like since I was a child, and I can't get rid of that. I haven't found a way to get rid of that, honestly.
Yeah, but maybe, you know, I'm not saying you can't, but sometimes it's not about getting rid of it, right? It's just managing it. And it sounds like you have successfully, or, you know, found a way to manage it, which is great. Speaking of travel, though, I want to know what your thoughts are on just your predictions about travel in 2020. Do you think it's possible? Do you think the travel industry is going to recover? How does this affect your work? Because, you know, I mean, we both are in the travel industry, and I'm just curious to know from a, you know, from a full-time traveler, what do you see the future of travel holds for influencers and for yourself?
Oh my gosh, people were asking me this on like March like 20th, and I was like to my mom, why are people asking this? I don't know the answer. I'm like, I don't even know what I'm gonna eat tomorrow. I'm like, what? But no, I'm just kidding. Now I reflected, and mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, it's May, so I can kind of like develop some certain sort of like prediction of what's gonna happen. But I really think domestic travel is gonna be a big thing, and I only say that because that's kind of what I'm comfortable with.
Right. Now.
You know, like even before, like when in February when like the cases were like spreading all over the world, I was even a little hesitant. Like I had a trip to Europe, and like I was going back and forth before we even shut down, before it was a major deal here in the U.S. of should I go, because I don't want to get trapped anywhere. And it's not that, like, you know, it's really like the fear is more of like getting stuck somewhere, and not talk about anxiety. Like, I don't know what I would do in that situation, but I really think, yeah, domestic travel is probably going to be, you know, big, which is great. Like, why not explore more of our own surroundings and country? And it's actually better for the environment. And I think now that, you know, we've realized, you know, what a negative impact mass tourism can have on the world. You know, maybe it's even better to be more, I feel like people are going to be more mindful when it comes to travel, you know, and being mindful of their carbon footprint, and, you know, going more on like road trips or, you know, train travel or things like that closer to them, where, you know, you're making less of an impact, negative impact on the world. Mm-hmm. Look at Venice. It's so crazy. Like, we're hearing all of these amazing stories about how the planet is healing, and that means a lot to me. I think it's a beautiful thing. And as a traveler, it's kind of like, what do? You know, I want to travel, but like, I also care about the planet. So I think we all should be a little bit more mindful, especially since we literally have evidence that, we can make an impact, and a positive one, if we just change the way we travel. And I think quality over quantity, I hope, will be, something that people will think about when they're traveling, rather than just trying to check off as many places as they can.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, I personally need to explore more of the U.S. I've always been more drawn to international travel. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but I think what you said is correct, that there is so much beauty around us, and sometimes, you know, you don't have to travel far. You don't have to say, oh my God, I went to this place and that place. Yeah. You can say, you know, I went upstate and I found this beautiful little town and cafe. And I think that's just as beautiful and valid, right?
Absolutely. And I always like strive to find really unique places. I've been doing a lot of domestic travel because I've been mindful of the carbon footprint. Like, especially last year, I called it like the year of domestic travel, because I wanted to do more. And I was working with Hotel Tonight and going on like spontaneous weekend getaways. And I went to Philly, I went to Cape Cod, I went to all these places. And the matter of fact is, you can find beauty everywhere you go. Like, no matter where you go, if you look for it, you can find it and you can enjoy it. And like, and there are different cultures wherever you go, you know? So I think, I'm excited actually for domestic travel because I haven't done enough of it and I want to do more of it. I actually have never been to a national park in the US.
Oh my God, me neither. It's kind of embarrassing.
I know. I'm like, oh my gosh. I meet these Europeans and they've been to like everyone. I'm like, I've never been.
I know. But that can be your next to-do list.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm like, I can't wait for it. It's going to be great, you know? I'm praying for the world right now and I just want like to see it. I want to see it in a healthier state. And so of course I miss travel, but I'm not like, you know, like rushing to do it right now, because right now I'm sitting in my apartment, social distancing, and I just want this to get better before it gets worse.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm on the same page as you.
Yeah.
So this podcast is called The City Confessions, and I'm not sure if you saw this coming, but I have my guests close out the episode by sharing a confession that they have. And this can literally be anything. It can be something very surface level and silly, something deep. But no matter what it is, I want you to know it's something that you should be comfortable sharing. And I also believe that my podcast is a really safe place. My whole, you know, purpose of doing this is because I love storytelling, and I am always intrigued by people's stories. I think it's fascinating to hear, you know, what they've been through, where they come from, what they do. So that's the premise and the reasoning why I have it called The City Confessions. So if you were to complete the sentence of like my confession is, what would that be?
Oh, okay. I'll give you one. I know exactly. And I actually haven't confessed this to many people until this pandemic, because I'm like so sad about it. So I'll give you a little bit of background information. I am I'm divorced, and I moved to New York City from Chicago because I met my ex in Chicago, and we moved here for his job. We're still really great friends, like all good vibes, nothing bad to say, but unfortunately we grew apart, and so I am divorced, but I'm also a hopeless romantic, and I just like, I love New York City, but it's really hard to meet anyone here.
Oh my God, so my, I feel you.
I'm like, again, I said I'm a hopeless romantic, so I literally just only told my friend the other day, like I hadn't told anyone this before. I only told her and I started cracking up. And I'm like, oh, I'm so bummed because, like, I don't know why, like, I love, like, the subway culture here in New York City. It's fascinating. And I'm like, I just always wish, like, I always pray to, like, somehow, like, stumble upon somebody and meet someone on the subway and then get married to them. And live happily ever after.
Wait.
No, I can't go on the subway. And if I do, I have to wear a mask and then I can see your face.
Wait, I love that because, oh my God, first of all, I'm such a hopeless romantic too. All my friends know that, and they literally like make fun of me, but I don't care. Like, I believe I deserve a love story. I don't know when that's happening, but it will happen. But let me tell you something that's really funny. So my roommate and I, the other day, we took a walk to all the way to like Dumbo, and from, I live around like Bushwick, Williamsburg, so it was like over an hour. And yeah, it was crazy, right? But I was like, this is freedom. It was a beautiful day.
Yeah.
So we had masks on, but it was like a really, really nice day. So often, you know, we would wear a mask, we would have like a jacket, but this time it was so beautiful. We just had like a t-shirt, like, I don't know, like regular summer clothes.
Thanks.
And mind you, we have sunglasses on and we have masks. We were walking for an hour and we got like not hit on, but like cars were honking. Guys were like, ooh, beautiful. But it was the funniest thing. Because I think it's like, we were just laughing because we're like, okay, wow, we feel so. Yes. We said, one, wow, we feel so great because we haven't had any compliments in the past like 2 months.
I know. It's like so sad.
And then we're like, two, they're really, really either complimenting us or, you know, just like haven't seen girls out, but we're like, we're so covered. It's like hilarious. So like if somebody does, you know, ask you for your number when you go out and you have a mask on, then you know it's real. It's the ultimate love story.
Oh my God. So yeah, actually there is hope, I guess.
It's very so funny.
Yeah.
I also read this meme, because I don't know if you're like online dating, but I've been like dabbling on the apps somewhat of boredom, somewhat of, you know, curiosity.
Right.
But there was this meme that said like, don't fall in love in quarantine because everybody's bored. And I was like, I gotta tell my hopeless romantic self that.
But also, if it does work out, what an epic love story.
I know. You're like, and then when you're saying your vows, you're like, I knew the day we met during the pandemic, it was real.
The pixels, like, I found love with their pixels.
Oh my God, I love it. This is so funny. See, that's why you can't plan. You can't plan this conversation.
No.
Oh God, that was great.
But I knew. I'm like, oh, I have a great one for her.
No, we can relate on so many levels. That's why, like, when this is all over, I can't wait to like get to know you even more.
Oh, hang out. At least I'll definitely like. I'm excited to. I know this has been such a crappy situation, this whole thing, but like, I'm excited to start fresh and to like really change a lot of things that I've been wanting to change, but like have put on the back burner because I was just running a mile a minute, you know, and that was just not healthy. And I think a lot of creators can relate. You know, we all juggle so many things. We're all hard workers. And so I hope we can kind of put ourselves first from here on out, you know.
I love that. I want to take a moment right now, though. I mean, you're not in person with me, but just to acknowledge you as a person, as an entrepreneur, as a woman, and as like a boss babe. I stumbled across obviously Dame Traveler for a really long time now, but I didn't know the face behind it. And you know, when I first discovered you and then also met you in New York City, you're such a sweet, sweet person. Like, I know that if people don't know who you are, like, you just have such a kind soul and this very, very calming aura about you. Like, your energy is so, so pure. So I just wanted to acknowledge that, one. And two, I know it's taken us a really long time to finally record this, but I also believe, again, like I mentioned in the beginning, timing is everything. And I think right now, again, the pandemic, it gave us both the opportunity to sit down and talk to each other. So I appreciate you taking time out of your day to record this.
Oh my gosh, thank you. And I want to thank you for your sincerity and for being so genuine and passionate about what you do. Like, really, you just put tears in my eyes. So thank you so much for your kind words. And I can't wait to hang out when this is all over.
Yeah, no, I really, really do admire you for everything that you do. But wait, I have two more questions before we actually wrap this up. So, second to last question is, what are you currently up to, or what can people, the listeners, be on the lookout from you within the next 3 months? Let's just say 2020, since we have no idea what's happening. I know that you just released your book and people can still get it, which I will link in the description. But besides that, do you have any secret projects that you can review? What are you currently working on? What can you share?
Yeah, I've been sharing a lot of like, so I go on long walks once in a while too, just to keep myself sane. And I love street photography. So I've been like sharing a lot of my street photography of just like what's going on, like the state of our city right now. And people have been loving them. The response is like putting tears in my eyes. It's so nice. So I'm actually going to open up a print shop and I'm going to be sharing the print. Yeah. And so I will definitely be donating a portion of the proceeds, especially from the New York City photos, to the Food Bank of New York City. So keep a lookout for that. But other than that, like, I definitely want to launch merch for Dame Travelers. So
Yes, that's so exciting.
I never like thought that it would be on brand, but you know, so many people have been asking for it. So I'm like, okay, I have to think of it. For me, I'm very passionate, so it's all or nothing for me. If I really feel it, I'll do it. If I don't feel it, I won't. But I'm thinking of creative ways in which I can do that. So, but hopefully I can roll that out soon now that I have more energy. April, I was like so drained, but I have more energy now and I'm more hopeful this month. So I'm becoming like a little, you know, more creative and hopeful.
Wait, oh my god, you should do like travel accessories too, like journals and like tumblers, passport holders.
But it's just, it depends on like what people want. And so I just have to think of some creative ways. But if any of you had feedback, please DM me or email me, anything you want, we can make it happen.
That's so exciting.
Thank you, but I hope to relaunch the book. And I was going to go on like a mini book tour, like in the US and in Europe, but obviously I can't do that now, but hopefully next year I can do that. Cause you know, that's the beautiful thing about books is that they live on forever and they're not as like, you know, they're not as instant and, their shelf life is longer than Instagram. So I think it's a beautiful thing that, you know, the book is so impactful, and I don't want it to just fall through the cracks, so I want to bring it back to life, like hopefully next year and probably around the holidays, who knows. But
yeah, well, no, that's great. I think it's like a very classic things to have, and it also makes for great home decor.
Yeah. Which is always fun
for sure.
And I just wanted to ask how you're doing.
I'm doing good. I mean, I think we all go through phases. March was, my anxiety was off the roof in March. Like, I didn't know how to handle it. And I've been alone for the most part. But then I started to have this, like, spiritual awakening. And I know it sounds weird, but I thought to myself, like, wow, this is actually such a rare and beautiful moment. Because how many of us can say that, you know, the universe gave us this opportunity to like reset? And I think when this is all over, I'm not saying people will miss it, but I think people will say, oh my god, that time that I had, I could have done this, or I should have done that. Whether that means be productive or I should have just done nothing, you know, I don't think there's right or wrong way to handle a crisis. But I think once you put it to perspective that this is temporary, you know, and how do I want to utilize this time? How do I want to come out of it? I think when you do that analysis, you look at it in a more positive light, if I can say so. So, yeah.
Yeah, actually, that just what you said right now was so simple, but was so powerful, because I've been feeling so sad and down and anxious, where I just haven't been able to breathe, and just like a lot of sadness. But that really, I mean, that helps me start the week off right. And I love Mondays, and I love like the first of every month, because for me it's always an opportunity to start over and to be better. And so that will help me through my week now. So
yeah, I love that. Okay, one more question. So my final question to you is, it's kind of like a two-part question. So when do you feel most at peace? And what is the one thing you love most about yourself?
Oh my gosh. So I love walking into an empty church. Like, you know, it's nice to go to mass and whatnot, but for me, walking into an empty church wherever I am in the world is one of my favorite things in the world to do. And it's been so sad. So the last place I actually went on March, I think it was March 11th, like March 12th was my last real day in New York, like real normal day. And I had gone into my favorite church in Our Lady of Pompeii in West Village. And I just sat there and I was just like working on my breathing and praying and just thanking God and just praying for what was ahead, because I had a bad feeling. And so I miss that. I miss that all the churches are closed right now. And I'm a very spiritual person. Like, yes, I'm Catholic, but I'm not extremely religious. But I do feel most at peace when I remind myself of how in touch I am with my spirituality and when I'm in an empty church. So I don't know why I just end up crying, but it's like a cleansing experience. Like mm-hmm. I cry and like I just feel so much better when I leave. And it's just a powerful moment for me every time I go. And a lot of times I just stumble, like when I'm traveling and I'm walking around and I see a church, if the door is open, I just walk in and I never regret it. So for me, that's my own personal little like peace. And just lately, you know, going on like short walks and just embracing like the little things, especially now that it's spring. But what do I like about myself?
What do you love about yourself?
Well, like I said before, I'm a very empathetic person. And so I do love that I can feel deeply for other people, even if I don't know them. So I'm grateful that I have that quality and that I don't have to like work hard to find it. It's just there.
Yeah. And I think honestly, that is a great summary of who you are and why you're so special and such a beautiful way to end the podcast. And again, I'm so, so, so happy that we finally were able to record this. And I hope everybody who's listening that you guys enjoy this episode, because I surely did. And I will leave all of Nastasia's information below in the description. You can connect with her, buy her book, support her. And yeah, I mean, thank you again. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode and stay tuned for next week's. All right, bye.